This is Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. The show will start in 3, 2, 1.
NMC Ricky D. Welcome everybody to Nightmares of the Americas Indigenous Tales. I'm Joseph. We're back.
And I'm Gabriel. After many a moon, we were gone.
Oh gosh, man. It's been like a wild ride. We were like choking and dying and couldn't talk. And yeah. Oh, we all know you're here for my voice.
We did. We died. We resurrected. And then we died again. Everything was just going wrong.
Yeah. Tooth broke. Got to get a new tooth. Mm-hmm. Man. Dentists are rip-offs, tell you right now. Just rip you completely off. Yeah. We're going to need like about $4,000. I'm going to go ahead and say no, sir. I'm not doing that. I went to the white man dentist. That's why.
The white man dentist. Yeah, we're back to our normal, I guess if you call us normal, back to our normal selves.
Yeah, like. Kind of. I have a little cough, but I'm still like kind of fine. Yeah, I'm a lot better than what I was before. I was like, hey, Gabriel.
Yeah, you sound like your godfather. Like,
yeah, Joseph. And I was like, we can't do that. That's just too much.
We did try, but then we failed.
Yeah, way too harsh on the editing. Can't do that. Then I came home today and I had white Jesus sticking out of my door. And he was all, hello.
Oh, they got you too?
Why do they always? Yeah, I was like, why do they always have white Jesus out there?
I don't know. Yeah, they've been going to my house like once a week. And I just keep finding those random cards. It's yeah. Very odd.
Like, isn't that a commandment? Do not litter.
Do not litter.
Do not waste that tree.
Thou shall not loiter on thy neighbor.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
They go, hey, have you heard of Jehovah's Return? Like on Friday.
Just slam the door.
Yeah. But I think they had black Jesus, didn't they?
I on think papers? So. Yeah.
I think they did. See, everybody could have a Jesus. You get your white Jesus, your black Jesus, your brown Jesus. Everyone knows he was brown, so I don't know why they got to lie to everybody.
No.
Yeah. He was the only white blonde dude in the middle of the desert in the Middle East.
Yeah. He never once got a sunburn.
No. He just golden delicious tan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been a wild ride. So today, you know, we're just chilling. We're going back to the podcast. We're not 100, but we're about I'm about 97.3, I think.
Yeah.
That's a good round number.
Yeah. Still got a little cough every now and then, but we can't be gone too long.
Oh, no. No, I miss this. I miss looking at your face, even though I saw you a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was like, we just hung out.
Looking at your digital face. If you want to follow us on social media, on TikTok and Instagram, just go to Indigenous_Tales. We also have YouTube under the same name. Go ahead and check us out there. Give us a follow, all that stuff. We post pictures, videos, all the good things. And if you could please do us a favor and follow us on any of your major podcasting platforms, that really helps us out. And it helps. I know on Spotify, it helps do the recommendations. Mm-hmm. So maybe other people could listen to us and we could just grow a little bit. So go ahead and check that out too. And if you want to give us a 5-star review, we will give you some free stickers. I'm pretty sure I'm caught up. I sent out like 40 envelopes like a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And yeah, a couple guys, they emailed and they were like, oh, cool. They're right here. And they showed me pictures of them. So I was like, well, I know they got as far as Wisconsin. So.
Oh, cool. Shout out Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we had a couple of Canada, a couple of Australia. I don't know when they'll get it. I mean, they're like time travelers. Aren't they like one day ahead of us?
I think so. Yeah. So
maybe they got it before I sent it.
Whoa. Maybe. Yeah, one of our recent reviews was from Australia, so hopefully maybe the sticker will be to that person.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know I sent them all out, so if you want to get a free sticker, just go ahead and screenshot your rating and review, if you can review. I know Apple Podcasts is the only one I think you could review, but if you do that, please screenshot it, send it to info@bhillnetwork.com. And remember to put your mailing address, because I know I did the same thing before. I emailed another podcast and I was all, cool, here's my review. And they're like, bro, you should know better. And I'm all, failure.
Oh, wait, I don't should you know have better. A podcast?
I didn't put my one address star. Or anything.
Like, oh, no.
No. So remember to put your address. If not, when I check the email, I'll email you back and say, hey, thanks for the review. Just need your address. We'll shoot it out. So I think I got a couple new reviews cool. the last couple days. So I'm going to send them out probably in a week or so. And they get the new stamps. I have a bunch of pinata stamps.
Oh, you got new stamps. Cool. Oh, cool. Pinata.
Yeah. Awesome. I try to get the ones from, like, they had a bunch of natives and now they sold out.
Oh, wow.
All those stamp collectors stealing our stamps.
Hoarding all the stamps.
Federal government. No, make more. And if you want to check out some of our cool swag, just go to indigenoustales.threadless.com. And if you make sure you follow us on any of the social media things, we do post updates when we do have sales, and there are flash sales sporadically. Mm-hmm. And if you would go ahead and sign up for the mailing list on that site, they'll notify you when there's sales, and they'll also give you like cool discount codes. So they'll be like, oh, here's 20% off. Here's like 10% off. Here's, you know, your sales are happening right now, whatever it is. And then you could get in on it too. So make sure you do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So today we're doing like a chill episode. We're going to start doing this episode once a month. We still don't know what to call it yet because we're just kind of like, you know, just doing this sporadically. We got the idea and we're like, you know what? Let's just come back with some native news, some indigenous, you know, kind of information.
Yeah.
So we could call it whatever you guys think we should call it, like chill episode. I know other podcasts call it a laid back episode, but we don't want to really, you know, bite on them. So we want to call it something that's different. So maybe if you guys have a suggestion, Gabe's going to do like a poll, probably ask questions, and then get, that's what we should do. Put like a suggestion thing where you can write your own, whatever you want. And then the top hits, he'll do a poll and then we could just vote on it. So then you guys pick it.
Yeah.
So this is just going to be one of those episodes. And what we're going to do is we're just talking about some stuff that happened in, you know, native news.
Yeah. Try to like current events, just stuff that happened within the last few months, stuff that we think is interesting or stuff that we think should be talked about. So I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, but we're just kind of like, you know, fly by our seat kind of thing. We got some articles up. We're going to talk about some cool stuff and hopefully you guys find some things out and enjoy this episode. So let's get into it. Something really cool that I found was that the Phoenix Suns, the basketball team, they do this really cool thing and it's originative night at their games. So they had one on March 4th. So they've been doing it for 2 years now. The Phoenix Suns have been exposing NBA fans to native culture during certain home games with themed uniforms, as well as indigenous music and entertainment. So I think you posted, I think I tagged you or sent you like the link last year when they did it. And then you posted it to our story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So this is going to be a thing that they're going to do.
Awesome.
And it's really cool. Yeah. It's really, it's dope because, you know, they're getting people out. They're getting people to see that natives aren't gone. Like a lot of people, every time we talk about indigenous people,
they're like,
the ancient civilization. A long, long time ago. Yeah. It's like, bro, like, what's up? High five. Like, we're chilling.
My uncle's there. You can go talk to him if you want.
Yeah. Like, when he goes, uncle, why do you wave your hand over the skillet like that? Did you see that meme? Yeah. And he's all, oh, I do it because I asked the skillet to make the pancake scrumptious. And he goes, really? And he goes, oh, no, I'm just checking the heat. But it's one of those things, right?
Yeah.
So it says Sunday was this season's last Heritage Game night at the Footprint Center. As the Suns got ready to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, Sean Martinez prepped courtside for the 12th game in the originative series for a sellout crowd, more than 17,000 fans. So this was like a huge thing.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, 17,000 fans. That's insane.
So it's at their like home stadium?
This is their home stadium, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Martinez is Navajo from Fort Defiance. He's also senior director of live presentation for the Suns and Phoenix Mercury. And don't hate on me. I know I said it like a question mark. I believe that's the WNBA team.
Oh, shout out WNBA.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. Yeah, so it's a WNBA team. So this is really cool. He's the senior director of a live presentation. So this guy's like, oh, this is we're gonna make sure that you see our folks out there.
Yeah. Right?
He goes on to say, you can come into this arena and connect with your tribal roots of what's happening here. Through the visuals, through the music, through the entertainment, through the DJ playing out front, you can see all 22 tribal nation flags permanently installed in the pavilion. It means so much to me. So what they did is the 22 nations that are federally recognized, they put them in the stadium and they're just, they're there. It's a fixture in the stadium.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So they're making it known, like, look, like you live in this area, you come to a game, you're going to see the presence of indigenous people. And that's really awesome to see that.
Yeah.
So the originative sponsored by the Gila River Resort and Casino is an NBA theme night series that started last season with a matchup against Golden State Warriors during Native American Heritage Month in November. So this is the fourth time they've done it, but November was when we posted it. Remember, that's the first time they did it.
Yeah.
These games are meant to recognize Arizona's 22 federally recognized tribes, not only during November, but through the entire season, both on and off the court. Martinez helped gain buy-in from Suns stars back in 2022 when the theme nights first began and the franchise released its City Edition Native themed jersey. So they have the City Edition Native themed jersey, and they were like, he was like, okay, so we know they're thinking about it. So because they're thinking about it, I'm going to go ahead and shoot my shot, right? I'm going to pitch this to them and see if they're going to do it. And they really like it.
Cool.
Their words directly to us were, thank you for explaining what these jerseys mean, what they're about, what the words for sun means down the side, the turquoise color, the protection stone, water is life, the whole meaning of the jersey. That was like super cool, right?
Yeah, I have all that symbolism in there.
Yeah. The headline at the special halftime show, along with Duncan and Sinqua families, was the Canadian electronic music group Hallucination.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know they were there.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were there just, you know, tearing it up. I guess it says that they gained fame through getting featured on Reservation Dogs, but there are so many songs on Reservation Dogs. And to me, I'm just like, well, I know that song. I don't even think about it. But I guess that's how they gained, you know, notoriety.
Yeah, they did a lot of music for that. And I think they did some, last year they did a couple of songs, which was cool. They did like a collab on Fortnite even. And they had like a song.
They did.
And they had a skin and some like cosmetics. They had
a skin, yeah.
And stuff like that. So that's
awesome. I think Ricky got it.
Yeah.
It was dope. So he goes on to say, even though the first night of this themed event, we lost, it's just not tonight. It's about every day when I go out there representing all 22 tribal nations of Arizona and the 500 plus nations across this nation, Martinez says, we want people to know that we're still here. We're thriving and it's not going to stop tonight. So this is a pretty cool thing that they did and they're going to continue to do. It's really cool. Their emblem is the Phoenix. It's a ball and it says Phoenix on it. There's feathers all around it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the feathers have different colors and stuff. It's a medicine wheel.
Yeah.
It's a medicine wheel with feathers. It's pretty awesome. So that's pretty cool that they're going to continue to do that. And then, you know, let people know. And I mean, if you ever been to Arizona, I know a lot of people don't leave their state, which is really weird. I've been all over the damn place. So I tell you, they call me Johnny Cash.
He's been to Arizona, all the places.
But if you're in Arizona, you know, like indigenous people are like everywhere. It's like you drive in Arizona, you're like, what's up?
Yeah, places like that or like Oklahoma, like there's stuff all over the place.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool that, I mean, fans of the game that get to go there can check all that stuff out.
Got it.
I like the Phoenix Suns in the 90s, but I was also, it's the 90s, so you got to go for the Bulls because it was Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan, but, you can't beat that. You got Jordan.
You can't go over Jordan. I mean, I was a Bulls guy. And then you had freaking the crybaby, Charles Barkley.
He was part of the Phoenix Suns. He was a wannabe, from what I heard.
Oh, be gone, wannabe.
Be gone. Charles Barkley.
So I don't know who I am.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
No, he's all skinny now.
he is. He's a skinny with a. But he's so tall, so it looks like I don't know. It looks weird when basketball players are really skinny.
Yeah, Shaq got all skinny too. Shaq was like chunky for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, but it's really cool that you get to do that. I'd be awesome to go to one of those games.
Yeah, I wonder if like ticket prices are higher because it's like an event kind of night.
I think the first one they paid for a lot of like indigenous people to go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think the first one they had like tribal members and they're like, nah, like all the because that's really cool that they do stuff like that for communities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of NBA players, they do it for their own communities, right? Mm-hmm. So you see like Shaq giving out PlayStations in the 90s to all the kids in LA.
Yeah.
You see like Marshawn Lynch going out there, going back where he was from and giving out stuff like that. If they're going to do something like this and they want to give back to the community and show that they actually care, they donated a bunch of tickets and to like tribal members to get all their kids there. And that's like a really cool thing to get a bunch of people, like indigenous people there to show them like, look, you're being seen. Like, you know, I know it's not much, but we're doing something. We're going to try. So that's really cool. So that's awesome of the Phoenix Suns. Really, really cool thing for them to do.
Yeah, definitely. So this thing that I found, it's a documentary that was released at the Sundance Film Festival back in January. And it's called Sugarcane. It's a new documentary about the former St. Joseph's Mission Residential School, and it won directing award at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah, where it had its premiere. Now, the film Sugarcane, it follows the Williams Lake First Nations investigation into the abuse and disappearance of children at the residential school. I don't know when they started it. I think it's been a few years now where the Williams Lake First Nations started looking into this residential school because all these unmarked graves started popping up. All this stuff started coming up about, you know, missing children and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're looking more into it to get down to, you know, what actually is going on or what actually happened at this place. And this documentary is digging into that, which I think is amazing because like me and Joseph said before, we're going to dive into residential schools eventually. It's just we got to really prepare for this. It's going to be more than one episode, I'm sure, and it's emotionally taxing. It just drains you to talk about this stuff, but it is stuff that we have to talk about because there's a lot of people that just don't know. They're like, "Oh, what is that?" Or they think, "Oh, they hear like school, they don't really think anything bad." But then when you look into it, you're like, "Oh, that's not good at all."
About like I was telling Kristen, I was like, oh man, I don't know if I should do like a TikTok thing or like or just do like another separate spinoff podcast or something just about all the bullshit that the US government has done because people don't believe it. And it's ridiculous to be like, well, you know, they poisoned the water system. Oh, they gave syphilis to, you know, to black people to see what's going on with them with that.
Or like the crack epidemic, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, all of it. There's so much stuff. I mean, the CIA bringing in drugs. Mm-hmm. I think it was in Chicago where they sprayed a bunch of chemicals out in the air, and it was in these poor black neighborhoods mm-hmm. and Hispanic neighborhoods, and they did it intentionally because they knew that no one was going to give a damn. And then people were like, that sounds kind of crazy. And then there's actually articles where they're like, they say they're sorry. There's a news announcement where they don't publicize it, but it's like the president speaking or something, and be like, oh, my bad. We're sorry to all the victims out there.
Yeah.
And people don't believe it. It sounds ridiculous because you want to have some kind of trust in your government. But if you've listened to this show at all, you know that that's a fallacy.
Yeah.
Do not trust the government. No. If they tell me to go right, I'm going left. If they tell me this is good, it's probably bad. I mean, look at everything. You got all these people that voted for one president. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to have war. Let's bomb everybody and then help people kill each other.
Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
I mean, you can't trust what they say. They're all full of crap.
Yeah.
It's all part of the machine. So, yeah, we're going to have to talk about it. But I might have to need to get extra therapy sessions for that because, oh, man, it's going to be rough.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough talking about the when we did the mission episodes. I mean, this is similar to it. It's just, you know, kids being taken from their homes against their parents' will and being put into these places where they're being forced to believe stuff that has nothing to do with their culture, being, you know, their language is stripped from them, their names are taken from them. It's just it's a nightmare. It's scary.
Oh, it is completely. And it's like a continuation of the mission system. It was just a continuation from the Spanish.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, let's just keep doing this crap, which is, it's really interesting considering like, where we are today, where there's still people who are like, stop speaking Spanish, speak English. That's a Mexican language. I'm like, well, Spanish is a white language, so I don't know where the hell you guys are getting this crap from. Like, you guys are all just speaking different white languages. That's like getting pissed off. You're not going to get pissed off at a German dude. You're going to be like, oh, he's German. Oh, well, tell me about Germany. So why would you get pissed off at somebody else for speaking a Spanish language when That's from Spain. That's not a, that's a European language. Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, it's real interesting. So the directors of this documentary are Julian Brave, Noisecat, and Emily Cassie. They said they're grateful the film is getting the platform that it deserves. And when making the film, Cassie said they knew they needed to connect with real people living the consequences of residential schools in the present. And they wanted to film as things were unfolding when they were, when there was an urgency and energy to find the truth through the investigation. So Cassie first became interested in the residential school's legacy after a potential 215 unmarked graves were, you know, discovered, which is, I mean, that's just horrible. That's a lot of, they're all children. So that's just, you know, disgusting. And she was an investigative journalist and filmmaker, and she had covered human rights abuses and told stories of people caught in the crossfire of geopolitical conflicts all over the world, but had never done anything in her own country. And while working on the film, Julian Brave Noisecat's father, Ed Noisecat, had his story put into it. He was born at the residential school, and this was part of a healing journey that he had when he talked about what happened to him. I've seen a lot of videos of elders who are in their 70s, 80s talking about this stuff. And in a way, it is like therapy for them because they get to, you know, it's not a secret. They're not being told not to, you know, they're not being told to push it under the rug or anything. They're sharing what happened to them and people are listening. So it is a really good thing to talk about it, even though it is, you know, painful at the same time.
But if you also know of anybody who's been through trauma like that, you know, not to directly ask them. If they want to open up and share, that's great. But don't kind of focus on it because it is traumatic. And some of these people go through spells where, I think I was listening to one of the podcasts. Damn it, I don't remember what the podcast is called. I'll look it up my phone after this. But they were interviewing one of the guys that was in Canada, and they were interviewing one of these guys, and his, after he talked to him, the wife came up to him and just to the guy who was interviewing, and she said, "It's not going to be a good night." And he's like, "Well, what do you mean?" And she goes, "You asked too many questions." That it's, he really, he wanted to tell his story, but when he does that, she said he's not going to sleep. He might even open up the bottle and start taking a couple drinks, just to try to drown it out, because it's really traumatizing.
It brings all that to the surface,
And you got to think, these people lost their families, and they separated siblings. They, if they knew that you were related, they would separate you. Because they didn't want you to have any connection with your family.
Yeah, it's horrible. Now, the film also explores the life of Rick Gilbert, who was the former Williams Lake First Nation chief and counselor. He passed away in October of 2023. The film, you know, it talks about his abuse at St. Joseph's, but they were kind of, I don't know if they were kind of questioning him on it or trying to understand why he chose this, because he remained a Catholic even, you know, to his deathbed, which, you know, everybody believes what they believe. Some, you know, it's just the way it is. You can't really, sometimes you don't understand why they believe what they believe, but this is what he believed. Gilbert was one of the First Nations leaders invited to the audience with Pope Francis in April 2022, and Cassie and Noisecat traveled to film Gilbert in Rome, including a visit he made to the Oblate House at the Vatican, where he met with the bishop. So he got to meet all these, you know, in the Catholic world, these are very important people. And the two men had a deep conversation with the bishop, telling him, "I am so sorry, and your forgiveness one day is what we will need to be healed." When Williams Lake First Nation started looking into the residential school and investigating, they got a lot of hate from outside the Indigenous community because, you know, there's always those ignorant people who either just choose not to understand a certain situation, or they're just hateful people. And, you know, the results of them being hateful is saying ugly things, because they received, the Williams Lake First Nation received a lot of hate emails saying that they were only doing this as like a quick cash grab to try to get paid reparations, or they were even blaming them, saying, you know, how could you guys let your children go to these residential schools? Which, again, they didn't let them. They were taken from them.
They don't know anything about the situation. That's what's ridiculous. And I see that a lot with comments, which I'm a very, I've been around a lot of different type of people.
Oh yeah.
Especially in the military. You don't get to choose who you're from, you know, you're around. But I've really want to believe maybe it was just the type of people that joined the service. You do have some evil people, but for the most part, everyone's kind of willing to understand and share cultures, which is really amazing. But I want to believe that people aren't really that bad. But then you go on the internet and you're like, damn, man.
Because like, they have no restrictions behind a computer screen, so they can say whatever they want. And, you know, their true, I guess, intentions come out. That's the scary thing.
No, there's an indigenous artist that I follow, and I'm definitely going to post it, who she is. We'll post it on her Instagram just because I want to give her credit. I can't think of her name right now. But I think she's from Alaska, and all she was doing was just posting art, and she sells it. And some of them are earrings. Some of them are like wraps that you put on like books and stuff. And she had blankets, and someone just said some awful stuff to her about the blanket. And she wasn't saying like, these are old, I'm doing this because I'm trying to, you know, show you, or she wasn't being preachy. Yeah. She wasn't doing anything other than just showing off her art for sale. And there was like hateful comments. So it's very interesting to see how there are still people out there who just don't understand that they don't have to be that way. They could just open up and try to get information. We live in a place and a time where information is everywhere. It's so easy.
It's so easy to educate yourself or to ask questions and to learn about anything you want to learn about.
Right. So for people to say things like, how could you let your kid? It's like, well, I would say open a book, but you don't even have to do that anymore. You could just go on Google. You don't even have to open. You don't have to go to the library. You could just look it up. But you're going to say something awful like, oh, well, how could you let your children go there? Well, you understand that the federal government forced us to do this, right?
Yeah, they took them.
Yeah. GBA. God bless America.
Yeah. But, you know, they didn't really want the film to be so much only, you know, doom and gloom. They wanted to also celebrate the resilience of indigenous people and the things that we celebrate, such as during this time, you know, they had they would do rodeos, powwows, deep net fishing, elders dancing, sweat lodges. And all this took place at the First Nations Day of Truth and Reconciliation, which they celebrated in 2021. And recently I read that National Geographic bought the film and they plan to release it in theaters. I don't know if they're going to release it globally because National Geographic, you know, they got a ton of money, so they could do that. But they are planning to also release it to stream on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I think Disney Plus owns National Geographic now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to physically have it like in theaters so people can go out and see it in a theater setting. But then, you know, once after that, they're going to have it so you can stream it. So this, if you.
Oh, really cool.
I don't know how many people go to like film festivals and stuff, but if you weren't able to see it, you know, I know a lot of people stream, so you can see it on Disney Plus, and I recommend watching it. I saw a trailer for it, and I'm sure it'll be rough to watch, but it is stuff that.
Yeah, I got to get in the right headspace. I got to I might have to watch it in like 10-minute bursts because I got to try to deal with all that stuff. But it's called something I want to
see. Sugarcane. Yeah, Sugarcane.
Really awesome. That's so cool. Man, that'd be so cool to go to a Sundance Festival one day just to like chill and hang out. I'll eventually get there.
See all the weird films.
Oh man, I love all those weird indie films.
Like indie films, yeah.
Oh my gosh. There was a weird indie film on Netflix during the pandemic and I watched it and it was like, dude, it was like little cartoons.
Yeah.
There was the one with the mouse. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, if I could find it again, I'll send. I wonder if there's, you can see your history that you watched, what you watched. I don't know. If you can, I'll send it to you because it's, dude, it's trippy. I was watching like.
I like seeing all that stuff. Man. Like you're not your typical Hollywood, like it's just like its own thing.
Dude, Napoleon really Dynamite. Cool. Like I love indie movies. They're great.
Yeah. Napoleon Dynamite is one of them.
Gosh.
Now it's a tater tots? Cult classic.
That's my son pulling tater tots out of his pockets. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? You got loose raisins and trail mix in one pocket and tater tots in the other. Oh, he's the coolest kid. Gosh, I love him. Yeah. Well, since we're talking about festivals, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. Let's jump into, I don't know if you've heard about this, the Indigenous Comic-Con?
I didn't. No, I didn't hear about that.
You did not? Okay. So it's called IPX. When you go to their website, it says, the first of its kind event. The Indigenous Pop Culture Expo looks to showcase Native American and Indigenous creatives and communities in a way that dispels the mythologies that Natives are a people of the past. Rather, we seek to show Native identity in all its past, present, and future glory simultaneously. All ages are welcome, family-friendly, daytime events. Kiddos 3 years old and under are free. Kiddos 4 years older and up need to get a ticket. And they have evening events that are 21 plus at a different location. But they always do that in all these festivals. You know, they always have like a club or something with everyone shows up. Mm-hmm. They're also going to have a Reservation Dogs night, which is going to be really cool because I know that show just kind of took off. So let's go over who's going to be on the Reservation Dogs night. First up, Sterling Harjo.
Oh, he's going to be there?
He is the director, if you don't know. Really, really good director. He directed Reservation Dogs, Mecco, Barking Water, Four Sheets to the Wind. He's part of the 1941s, the comedy sketch group. Like a ton of different things. So he's going to be there for like this little Q&A thing. That's going to be cool.
Cool.
Lane Factor is going to be there. That's Cheese on Reservation Dogs. He's going to be there. Oh,
he's so cool. I follow him on Instagram and he always posts like just random funny stuff.
Doesn't he remind you of our nephew, Roman?
Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit, right? Like when you see him, like he does faces and I'm like, damn it, Roman, you're right there. I see you. I miss that kid. Natalie Standing Cloud.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she was on, she's in Killers of the Flower Moon, but she's also in Reservation Dogs. If you guys, I know a lot of people have seen Reservation Dogs. She was the auntie that worked at the glasses place where Cheese got his glasses. That's what I remember, like where she was at in Reservation Dogs.
She was only in like a couple episodes.
Yeah, she wasn't in many. And then Richard Ray Whitman's going to be there. Mm-hmm. John Proudstar is going to be there, which is dope. That's cool. Willie Jack's dad.
Yeah.
And he has his own comic book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's really cool. So that's like something awesome that people are going to like check out and see. His comic book is titled Tribal Force.
Tribal Force.
Tribal Force. It's the first comic book featuring all Native superheroes.
Oh, that is awesome.
So like the artwork looks dope. I mean, it looks really cool. You got all these dudes with long hair, jacked, like just it's all superhero stuff. So that's really awesome. I'm real excited for that.
I wonder who he got to do the artwork for it.
I don't know much about art for comic books and stuff, but the guy's name is Chris Williams. So this is April 12th through the 14th in Oklahoma City.
Oh, nice.
So in 34 days, 8 hours, 34 minutes, and 23, 22, 21 seconds. Keep going. There we go. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram. You can check out their schedule. They have glow stick ball, which is going to be really cool. It's stick ball, but I don't know how they're going to do it. It looks like they have like lightsabers, like glow sticks. Is bring your own sticks. Medical staff's going to be there because this is a 21 and older or 18 and older event because it could get a little, dicey out there playing stickball. Someone might get hurt, so they're going to do that. And then they have stickball during the day for kids to sign up for.
Cool.
They're going to have DJs there. They're going to have workshops. It's like a total freaking experience. You go on their website and check out some of the panelists. Oh, Teal Horn's going to be there too.
Oh, cool.
She's from like Letterkenny. She was on she was on Res Dogs. She was the deer lady.
Yeah.
So she's going to be there. The Reservation Dogs panel. It's no additional cost. It's just going to be a panel. It's a meet and greet. You can sign up for it. The tickets aren't that much either. That's what's really cool. The tickets are very affordable. You can get a 1 day pass for $30 on Friday. Sunday is going to be $25. Saturday's $40. But the 3 day pass is only $75.
That's nothing. Yeah.
And then you get like the 3 day badge pass plus. So it has like the lanyard, the limited edition stuff, signed print, all the cool stuff. But the most expensive ticket they have is $170.
Even that's cheap for a convention. Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, you get everything.
You get to meet everybody.
Yeah. You get to meet everybody. Cool. They even have places where you could stay with discounts. There's a night at Mistress Red. So there's like night stuff going on, VIP tribal table. So you could buy a VIP table at like the party and stuff. Cool. So if you guys ever been to any of these conventions, you know that they have a bunch of parties at night. Mm-hmm. They do a bunch of cool stuff. You get to meet a lot of cool people. I was telling Kristen, I was like, so what if I go by myself? And she got mad at me. She was all, you are not going to Oklahoma City by yourself. I was like, why?
Come back.
What's wrong with that? We'll promote the show. She goes, you're not doing it. You're going to have too much fun. And I go,
Man. Maybe next year. That would be awesome, though.
Yeah, it's really cool because they do it all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things where if you look at their homepage, it's just indigenouscomiccon.com. So comiccon.com. So if you go to that, their homepage, it says, everyone is welcome at IPX. IPX strives for inclusion at all levels within the expo, regardless of race, ethnicity, age, gender, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, disability, economic status. Like, anybody is able to go. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people have a hard time with is some people feel like they're going to be gatekeepers and they're like, well, you can't wear this if you're not doing, if you're not indigenous or do that. And it's like, indigenous artists want you to buy it because that's their livelihood and you're showing appreciation for it.
And you never know, like they could have been gifted something by somebody or they could have bought it, like you said, from an indigenous artist. You can't just assume.
And by going to this, you're supporting indigenous artists. So this is a really cool event. I would love to go. Mm-hmm. It says we started in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 2016 and held an IPX in Denver, Australia, and now Oklahoma.
It's in April or June?
April.
I don't know. Yeah.
I know it's kind of close, but it's in 34 days, 8 hours, 28 minutes, and now 36 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's able hearing this, if anyone's able to go, please go have fun.
God, Arizona. I wish I would have known that one in Arizona because we would have went.
Yeah, Arizona's not that far.
It's like 12 hours away, 10 hours away. Flagstaff is like 10 hours away. Maybe 8 the way I drive.
If we could make it to Vegas, we could make it to Arizona.
You're right there.
Yeah. You're right there.
And if you are in that area, you want to take some pictures, check some stuff out, email, like send them to us, tag us or whatever. That'd be really cool. We'll give you a shout out because that was something I would love to go to. I hope people are live streaming too.
Cool.
Because I want to see
it. Yeah. Well, sticking with entertainment, I recently saw that, I don't know if you know Avatar the Last Airbender. That might be a little past your, because it was on when I was a kid.
I saw Avatar the Last Airbender movie and got pissed off. They never made a sequel. And now they're redoing it. And that movie was great. I don't care what you say. Did you see that movie?
You're going to get so much hate comments.
That movie was great. Oh my gosh. It was so good. Watch it again.
It's not good.
It was good.
Well, so yeah, if you're not familiar.
But I also, hold on. But I also like Green Lantern. Okay. So everyone, like people like what they like. Everyone hates Green Lantern. I'm like, me and my wife go, that's pretty good. That's very good. Yeah, that's a guy coming to America. He's like, he's good. Like, that's me and my wife. We thought,
I don't know. I'll dislike stuff for certain reasons. Like people nitpick, like the CGI was not, crisp enough. It's like, okay, get over yourself. But if it's like storyline issues or they casted somebody that shouldn't have been casted, then that's different. A lot of people like to nitpick though.
And everybody's in love with Ryan Reynolds now. So shut up.
Yeah. Well, originally it aired in 2005. It was a Nickelodeon show, which grew a huge following. It was like everyone was obsessed with this show. And then it was made into a live action movie in 2010, which was so bad that it got a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I thought it was great. I'm just saying right now. I thought it was good.
If you ask any fan of the series, they will right away.
Like, oh, well, see, that's the thing. But that's the thing is that I never watched the series.
Oh, you went straight to the movie.
I just watched the movie and I thought the movie was great for the movie. But see, so you got to give me some credit for that, right? You can't say that I'm I didn't know anything about it. I just watched the movie and I was all, that's a pretty good movie.
And it was directed by M. Night Shyamalan, which I like a lot of his movies too.
Oh man, he's great.
Like, I know a lot of people are like saying his movies are really good, and then once you get to the ending, it's like, that was stupid, I hate it. But I've only had like a few experiences like that with his movies. But a lot of, like, Signs is a good movie. He did Signs. That's a classic alien movie. The Visit,
That one dude who's not there anymore.
Oh yeah, what is it called? I completely.
I got you on. Now you're the only.
I don't know what it's called. Bruce Willis.
Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense, yeah. So in his movie, he did cast a lot of people from India and Asia in his movies. But he also did cast a lot of white actors to portray the Southern Water Tribe. And he did this even though the Water Tribe from the series is inspired by Alaskan Native cultures. So a lot of people were kind of touchy on that.
Oh, see? I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, because they're inspired by, you know, a little bit of Inuit culture and stuff like that. So the fact that the proper representation wasn't cast, that was part of it too. But then there's the other part who are just like diehard fans who are just like, I hate this movie.
Oh, so it was like a spaghetti Western where they had a bunch of Italians being indigenous folks where they're all like,
because it is a fictional world. Yeah. You know, this world doesn't exist, but the tribes are clearly inspired by real life cultures. And then it's like this random white guy comes up and he's supposed to be from, you know, Asia. It's like, okay, wait a minute.
Now that I think about it,
it's a lot of white people.
Yeah. Well, it's fairly white.
So when rumors came of they're doing a live action series, a lot of people were nervous. They're like, oh God, this is going to be the movie all over again. But it's exciting that this new show is rich in indigenous representation. Like I said, it's a fictional world, many fantasy and science fiction stories. Like Avatar: The Last Airbender, they borrow inspiration from many cultures. The Fire Nation resembles the imperialistic armies of Japan and India. The Earth Nation has a lot of similarities to imagery of mainland China. And the Air Nomads are similar to Shaolin and Tibetan monks. Then there's the Water Tribes, who took different direct influence from Inuit tribes from Canada and Alaska. So this new series, they really put effort into the characters, which are grounded in reality and try to accurately depict the cultures. You know, we're experiencing a rebirth of native media because of, you know, shows like Reservation Dogs, who it got, you know, the first season came out and everyone instantly fell in love with it. And then it became this, you know, overnight sensation, it seemed like. And then, you know, movies like Killers of the Flower Moon came out and everyone's like, whoa, I didn't even know that story. And they're having people from the tribe put in their consulting on the film instead of, you know, people telling the story for them. Natives are beginning to take charge of their own stories and representation in movies and television, since they are the ones behind the camera, writing, acting, and producing some of these productions. Most significantly, preconceptions are being broken by this contemporary surge of indigenous media. Indigenous representation is extended into other genres such as fantasy and action by using native performers in television series like Avatar: The Last Airbender. A lot of people think, which I agree with, that natives shouldn't be, you know, typecast into the mystical person in the corner giving you wisdom, or like the person giving you, the one who's like, oh, I know a tracker that can help us, and it's a native guy. And it's like, really? It couldn't be just a white dude who is really good at hunting or something?
Oh, I can't wait to get into my next story, because you're gonna laugh.
So instead of only playing the Native American, quote-unquote Native American character, it seems that Native actors are getting a lot of opportunities lately to appear in films of many genres and to play, you know, characters of all sorts. And this show, The Last Airbender, I know all the episodes, I think, are out on Netflix right now, and it's getting a lot of positive feedback. There's a lot of actors from Reservation Dogs in it. There's a lot of indigenous actors in it from other things. And it's not just let's put some makeup on this Italian person or white person and say they're from this place. It's kind of, you know, they're kind of giving the right representation. So I think that's really cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I thought it was going to be a movie. It's a series.
Yeah, it's a series. I think there's like, I want to say like 10 episodes, but I'm not sure.
You know what though? TV is so good. Like they do like series that are just so amazing.
Oh yeah.
Whenever we do another Patreon, whenever we have time to like start doing that, we should just review a bunch of TV shows and movies, because there's so many that are like that right now that are just so good.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome that they did that.
Mm-hmm. So what's your next one? You said, I'm really excited to get into my next one.
So I'm going to go over something that's a little sad for all you guys who know. Bobby Dews Wilson came out.
And he's a pretendian. He's a white man.
He's a white man. So for you guys who don't know who this guy is, he's an actor. He's in a sketch comedy group called 1491s. They call him 1491s because they take the name from the year before the arrival of Christopher Columbus, and they're a comedy sketch group. They're hilarious. So if you guys watch these videos and stuff, they're super funny. They make all these videos. They have merch. They perform and stuff all throughout and everything. Mm-hmm. They started in 2009, and their members include Dallas Goldtooth.
Yeah, he's hilarious too.
Who is just one of the funniest people alive. He's the spirit in Reservation mm-hmm. Dogs that he sees. He's super funny.
William Knife Man.
Yeah, William Knife Man. Oh my gosh, he is so funny. Here we go again, Sterling Harjo. You know, so make sure if you see him at the Comic-Con, you say what's up and do all take pictures and all that stuff. But he's also a part of this comedy sketch group. Ryan Redcorn, Bobby Wilson or Bobby Dews Wilson, and Miggy Pensino. If you guys are following on social media, because I follow him and stuff, and he had this video that came out, and it was funny because you always see other people's things that they comment on or like. So you commented on it, and then it popped up on my feed. And then I was all, wait a minute. And the second I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a skit. 100% a skit. And I think you commented, this has to be a skit.
I didn't know it.
And then he's So let's hear what Bobby had to say.
There's questions that I have too, you know, about my heritage, about where I come from and my identity. Growing up in a trash can with my Dakota descended father, he told me many things, that my biological mom was, German, of German heritage, that maybe she was Irish or Scottish. The truth there is that, he didn't really know where white people came from. And I don't really know where they come from either. I just, you know, I'm doing the work to actively ingratiate myself in white culture as best as I'm able, from my teachers, from my elders. I shop at farmers markets. I leave the curtains open so that everybody can see me and my family watching TV at night. I have a credit score, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But you know, I'm here to say that I'm no longer going to be Indian. I'm going to live openly as a white man. I'm going to explore that that heritage, that side of me. And you know, I want to say sorry to everybody that I've hurt in this exploration.
That's not everything he said. He did say some other stuff. Did you hear him say, for 60 years, I've been thinking, I'm like, you're not 60, dude. You're like, not, maybe 40.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. But if you look at the comments, people lost their shit. A lot of people, they thought it was real. Well,
like a lot of people were mad. Like they thought it was
real. If you guys don't know about this comedy sketch group, you wouldn't know the joke. Like I've been watching their videos and they're hilarious. There's one of Bobby Dews and Dallas Goldtooth. And they have this shop. It's an indigenous shop. And people come in and they're all like, oh, you just watch that skit where they come in. And he's all,
oh, yeah.
Someone's like, oh, he's all, well, you might not know this.
Yeah.
Dream catchers, they have a purpose. You put them by your router and it extends the Wi-Fi signal. $75. Very good. That's what made me think of when you said,
yeah.
Like they're these mystical things, the mystical creatures, you know, like, ooh,
yeah.
They're always out there spreading. Oh, give me wisdom. And they do all these skits and they are so freaking funny. But he did this little kind of thing on social media and people were losing their shit, which made me laugh to death reading the comments because he took, you could see his hair tucked back
mm-hmm.
and he took a braid, his long braid, and cut it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big deal. So by him doing that, that's like a complete denouncing of his culture and everything else. But it was a joke. And it clearly is like a, you could see, if you watch the video again, it's like a, it looks fake. It's like a, what do they call those?
Yeah. It looks fake.
I was going to call them attachment. I don't know. I'm not a lady who has the extension. Yeah. It's just like a faux braid. That's like, what it is. Like it's a faux braid. So he did that and people were losing their minds like, oh, I can't believe this. And then you go through the whole group of 1491s and they got in on it. So it must have been like a whole thing where they posted 1491's future is in jeopardy after Bobby Dews comes out as a white man.
Yeah, it was on a indigenous TV.tv on Instagram. They like posted the story.
Dallas. Oh my gosh. So he says, you know, I always kind of suspected he was a white man. Like I just knew. So I guess in a way I'm complicit in Bobby Dews' Dakota descent. So then it goes on. Ryan Redcorn goes, we can go on this white journey together, Bobby. Sterling says, I'm so glad your secret is finally out. I don't have to hide this for you anymore.
They like photoshopped him like storming the Capitol.
Yes, that's another one. They with an American with a rifle, right? Yeah, he has a rifle in his hand and he's next to that weird freak with the horns on that thinks he's, I don't know, man bear pig. He says, we live in a world where Bobby will get canceled for pretending to be native, but not for storming the Capitol. So all these memes and everything, and people were just making it real. Or he says, making it look real hard to just say where you're from. I don't say I'm Nigerian or Chinese or anything else because I'm not. And I know that, but it's okay when a white dude trying to be native. So all these people lost their minds. It was the funniest thing. But if you guys want to check out this sketch comedy group, 1491s, and it is so freaking funny. Yeah. Check out their videos.
They've been on YouTube for a long time. He was in Reservation Dogs too. He was the
weed guy.
He worked at the weed store.
Yeah, he was the weed guy on there. Yeah. He jumped on that guy's back and he was all giddy up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hilarious. Yeah, when I first saw it, because I saw like the headline, I was like, wait, what? What is going on? And then I read it and I was like, this has to be fake. And yeah, it's just getting like so blown.
So he, it's so funny just going through the comments. People are like, I can't believe you.
We demand reparations. I know some of them are like feeding into it like as a joke, but
legendary. I just hope your whiteness doesn't hold you back. Says, does that mean you're not a real werewolf too? So it means I, and then he goes, it means I have the skin of a killer. All these, but there's like, people are like, if you scroll to the bottom where the comments are, says, I can't believe this. I call BS. Really? Not the braid. Don't do the braid. Like, people are like losing their minds because I guess they live on the internet.
Someone said, Bobby once paid for my gas. That's how I knew.
Yeah. This one says, white Jesus made him confess.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Check these guys out. They're really cool. Like Gabe said, they're on YouTube and then they have a merch store. I know that hit today.
Yeah.
On social media and everyone losing their mind. So you got to check that stuff out. Really, really cool. So we hope you guys, that's all we have for today. We want to end on something fun and just kind of goofy and stuff. So this is what we're going to do once a month, maybe once every 3-4 episodes, just to kind of cleanse the palate, relax. So we wanted to start this new thing. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it and think of the names, like start thinking of names. What do you call this? Chill episode, laid back. What'd you say?
Make sure to
Native news,
something. Make sure to keep an eye out on Instagram, indigenous_tales. I'll post
there. You go.
I'll have a post and we'll let all of you guys decide on a name and then we'll poll and see, you know, what the top one gets, if whatever one gets chosen, and we'll use it. So if it's stupid, then it's your guys' fault.
There you go. It's all your fault. So we hope you guys like this. And like Gabe said, check us out on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at indigenous_tales.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to check us on our merch, go ahead and do that at indigenoustales.threadless.com. Make sure you sign up for the mailing list so you can get a discount code. And, you know, if you want stickers, listen to the front of the show. I don't know. If you fast forward, it's your fault. You're not going to get any stickers. That's on you. That's not on me because I'm not going to say it again.
Yeah.
We're back. We're going to keep doing it week by week again. We just needed that little break just to get our voices back because, well, that's how we do the show is we talk. So we needed to be able to talk. So we hope you guys liked it. And that's all I got.
I just want to say thank you to everybody. Everyone had such kind messages and comments telling us to take care of ourselves. And, you know, they appreciate the show and the show means so much to them. And, you know, stuff like that. We love to hear it. And we appreciate all of you guys for listening. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for understanding. I mean, we're people too, and we both have day jobs and, you know, it's hard to juggle everything and get in because this is awesome. We love doing this and, you know, we don't like doing our jobs. So, I mean, who does, right?
Yeah.
And this is also a lot of work. Gabe puts a lot of work in social media. Some people might think, oh, well, you just post, you know, here and there, but you got to think of, yes, think of what to post, what to say, how to get it out, the hashtags, like all the, there's a lot of stuff that go involved in just making posts and stuff for social media. And Gabe's doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So congrats to him because that's a lot of stuff to take control of. So like I said, this is our passion. We love doing it. And thank you for the comments because that really means a lot too. When Gabe told me that people were like, you know, telling us we'll get better and all the positive stuff, it really made us, it made me feel good because sometimes I get in my head and, you know, it's like, well, does anyone even care? I'm gonna be sad now. I'm failing again, but we're gonna keep doing this. We're no Eeyores over here anymore. So until next time, I'm Joseph.
And I am Gabriel.
You'll be remembered by the tracks you leave.
And remain close to the Great Spirit.
And Gabe, I got our DNA results back.
Oh no.
We're white.
He's white.
We're a little bit of the Irish.
That wasn't Irish. I don't know what that was.
That wasn't Irish. That was terrible. Oi! I'm German.
There you go. That was better.
That was better?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me some fish and crumpets. That what they eat? I don't know.
I guess.
If you're not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on earth,